Oh, it's great to have you with us. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Now, one of the most frequently voiced objections to Christian faith or to religion in general is to do with violence. We hear people say that the Bible is full of violence, that Christian history is also packed with violence, and that religion causes violence or is too often used to justify it.
This is an objection that we at CPX hear on a regular basis, pretty much every time we write an article related in any way to religion, actually. We want to give this objection a good hearing today, and where better to start than with the unfiltered opinions of some of those internet philosophers who frequent the comments section of news websites. You get your fair share of these kinds of comments, don't you, Simon?
Yes, I do. I've got a bit of a collection of these. People tend not to hold back when they're writing in the comments section. For example, here's what a reader going by the name of Dove posted in an article I wrote recently. This person said, "The God of Abraham is angry, vengeful, and is the direct cause of every calamity to befall humanity." I think that's a bit of an overstatement. "The God of Abraham causes," he says, "diseases and floods and wars. The universe is uncaring. So is this God."
So that's fairly strong. As is this one. This is from Mitor the Bold, who is a regular reader of ours. He wrote this comment. I'm assuming it's a guy, maybe a woman, about an article of mine from a few weeks ago. He or she wrote, "The Bible has inspired genocide, torture, and murder. It has inspired cover-ups and pedophiles, race hatred, homophobia, and misogyny. It continues to fuel all these things in many places around the world. There is nothing beautiful and positive about the Bible. It is a book overflowing with hatred, petty jealousy, revenge, and sickening violence. I'm surprised there's not more violence by the faithful within the church. Maybe there is, and we just haven't heard about it."
Yeah, and we could do this all day, but in all honesty, this is a serious objection to faith for many people, and therefore it's worth looking at it and thinking about some responses to it. These questions about the Bible, about Christian history and about religion generally, whether it makes people more or less peaceful, for instance, these are questions that CPX has put a lot of work into. We have a whole host of scholars and theologians and thinkers that over the years have come in, and we've got them to talk about this. We have a whole section on our website dedicated to this big question, the question of violence.
So we thought that for this episode of Life and Faith, it would be worth bringing together some of the best of that material for our listeners. So starting with Ian Proven, who's a professor of Old Testament studies at Regent College in Vancouver. Simon interviewed him in 2011 and started out by asking, haven't we moved past all the really violent practices that we see in the ancient world of the Old Testament?
Well, I think it depends, firstly, who the we are who are supposed to have moved past it. The modern world is pretty violent too. In fact, I think the 20th century probably is way more violent than any aspect of the ancient world ever was. Quite apart from anything else, they didn't have the technology to do very much damage to each other. If people mean we've moved past it in the sense that we now think that violence is more wrong than they did, I would also dispute that. There's a huge difference between describing violence and approving of or advocating violence. And I actually think in a lot of this subject area, there's a huge amount of selectivity and overstatement going on. Another aspect of the question is that the very people who passed these stories on did not regard this as arbitrary, capricious violence. They always set it in the context of justice and law. It's always about actually redeeming the oppressed from the oppressor and that kind of thing. So their frame of reference is oftentimes not ours. But what they are convinced of, and this is where I think the selectivity comes in, what they are convinced of is that God is good. And justice is part of God's goodness. So the very people who are telling us these puzzling and sometimes disturbing stories are people who are fundamentally convinced that God is both personal and indeed a good person.
Well, that was Professor Ian Proven from Regent College talking about the violence of the Old Testament. But many people are concerned or repelled not only by the stories of violence in the Bible, but by the atrocities of Western history over the last 2,000 years and the role that religion has had to play in that. Now, however, for those who want to say it's because of religion that our history has been so violent, there are some complicating factors to that picture.
In a few moments, we're going to ask John Dixon about the historical accuracy of these kinds of claims. But first, here's a few snippets from other scholars who've thought and written extensively about this subject. William Kavanagh is a professor of theology at DePaul University in Chicago. He spoke to CPX back in 2011 about what he calls the myth of religious violence. Here's what he had to say about how murky this debate can be, using the atheist Christopher Hitchens book as an example.
Part of the issue, of course, is what do you mean by religion? You know, Christopher Hitchens' book, for example, bestseller, God is Not Great, and it's subtitled with a typical British understatement, How Religion Poisons Everything. But what actually counts for religion in the book is very fluid. For Hitchens, Stalin and Kim Jong-il, they count as religion because they are, even though they're atheists, militantly atheist regimes, they are totalitarian, and he says totalitarianism is an essentially religious impulse. At the same time, he says that Martin Luther King was not really a Christian. He was a Christian, a nominal Christian only, because he wasn't violent, and the Bible was clearly violent. The difference between what's religion and what's not religion is basically the difference between things that Hitchens likes and things that he doesn't like.
Well, that was William Kavanagh. Certainly, this is a debate where it's difficult for either side to be completely fair and impartial. It's important for Christians and people of other faiths to acknowledge that religion has, at least at times, been a big part of the problem.
This is Professor Miroslav Volf, a philosopher and theologian from Yale, who grew up in the former Yugoslavia and was himself persecuted and tortured there as a Christian. We interviewed him last year when he was in Sydney on this question of whether and under what conditions religion can be the cause of violence.
Yeah, I think religion is implicated in violence. But if you observe the world, it seems to me that the causes of violence are, you know, fairly simple, and religion figures in a minor way. We do violence for gain, right? We do violence because we feel threatened for our safety. We do violence because our reputation is somehow, and honor is somehow at stake. Other causes of violence are there, and religion sometimes participates, and sometimes you have, almost strictly speaking, religious wars. And so I think our task is to ask the question, under what condition does religion contribute to violence? Under what condition does it become violence-inducing? And this condition seemed to me clear. It's at the point where religion serves to mark group identities, and when it finds itself in close proximity to the power. When that happens, religion is very much likely to be employed for violence purposes, to legitimize violence that's done. And I think for that very reason, it's important to separate religion, to think of religion and political system as a two, and even broader cultural system, as two distinct systems. And once that happens, I think religion has a potential, certainly Christian faith, let me put it in more about the faith that I know the best and which I embrace, will function more as a catalyst for reconciliation than it will generate violence.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. Today we're talking about religion and violence. We've been showcasing a number of CPX interviews with scholars and theologians from around the world, but we thought we'd get a live one into the studio for you. John Dixon joins us here. Welcome, John.
Yay, thanks for having me.
John, people often make this objection. They say that religion is responsible for most, if not all, of the wars throughout history. Do you hear this much? Do people say this to you?
Sure. I was at a friend's house for lunch. It was a big rollicking lunch. And this guy learnt what I did for a living, which is always interesting because it either kills the conversation or sets it off. And as soon as he heard that I was a minister and I promote Christianity and so on, he said, oh, religion started all the wars of history. And I said, which ones? And he thought about it for a moment. He went, well, Northern Ireland, the Crusades, and then he kind of ran out of puff. So it is one of those things that's raised a lot. And interestingly, maybe 10 years ago, it was more common to hear people say Christians and the church were sort of holier than thou, too righteous, as it were. But now it's far more common to hear people say, actually, it's evil and pernicious and violent.
Yeah, but John, there's some truth to this criticism, isn't there? Christian history, if you read it, is littered with some awful episodes and some pretty horrible violence. You can't get away from this.
No, and I wouldn't want to. And being a student of history means that, you know, I know quite a lot of these stories. I know where the bodies are buried. And it isn't just a Roman Catholic problem with Crusades and Inquisitions. Protestants have their own dark past. Some of my theological heroes from the Reformation, like Martin Luther, John Calvin, said and did things that I find hard to comprehend. Martin Luther's 1543 tract called The Jews and Their Lies is a despicable piece of anti-Semitic writing that calls for real ostracization of European Jews. And it's disgusting to read. I don't get it because he's my hero. How could he have done that? But the reality is, yeah, the fallenness of the human heart runs through the pious heart just as much as anyone else.
So then the accusations are kind of true that religion and specifically Christianity maybe does cause violence?
Well, I mean, it can. The curious thing is that you've got to admit that violence and bigotry and imperialism are human universals. They were there before Christianity came along. They were there in Greece and Rome and Babylon and Egypt, way back into Canaan. So you don't need Christianity to pull these off. They're common to every culture. And so it's not surprising that there would be examples where Christianity is employed for these human universals of violence. The real question is it a particular contributor? And I think the fair answer to that is definitely not. And it seems to me historically naive to say otherwise. Some of the great exaggerations you hear are things like the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, a famous journalist in Australia once described the millions of martyrs to secularism that were killed in the Spanish Inquisition. But we know that over 350-year Spanish Inquisition, about 6,000 people were killed, which is 6,000 too many, of course. I mean, one death in the name of Christ is a blasphemy. But 6,000 over 350 years, that's the amount Joseph Stalin's atheistic program killed every week. But no one really goes around blaming Joseph Stalin for these things. Or you think of the Northern Ireland conflict, which is often seen as like the parable of religious violence. And it's 3,500 people killed in the 30 years Northern Ireland conflict, which is the same number killed in just 9 months of the French Revolution, the so-called Terror of 1793-94. This is a secular revolution in the name of secular liberty, killed 3,500 people. Which is not to say irreligion's worse than religion. It does demonstrate that the problem is neither. The problem is the human heart in possession of a passion unrestrained.
So, John, why then should people take Jesus seriously if they look at this history? Why wouldn't you make the link between some pretty dreadful things and the Jesus story and then therefore write the whole thing off?
Look, it's hard not to. And if people have experienced direct pain from a Christian, it's really hard to get around that. But anyone can tell at 100 paces that the Jesus of the Gospels taught to love enemies, to pursue humility, to serve others. And the problem with a violent Christian is not their Christianity. It's their departure from Christianity. And sometimes I talk about, you know, I think of a beautiful piece of music, Johann Sebastian Bach's cello suites, for example, or Coldplay's Yellow. You listen to that and it's beautiful. But if you hear someone just starting out on the guitar try that Coldplay piece, or someone just starting out on the cello play the Bach piece, it's going to sound awful. But you can't blame the composition for that. You've got to distinguish between the composition and the performance. And I would just, you know, beg people to have a look at the composition. Jesus wrote a beautiful tune, and Christians haven't always sung in tune with it. That's true. But the other side of the story, very rarely told, is that Christians have very often sung the tune as they pursued peace, turned the other cheek, went to their deaths on behalf of others, started the poverty programs we now take for granted, began the conversations about human rights. They have participated in the tune of Jesus, but not always. And we have to try and distinguish the beautiful tune from the ordinary performance.
Well, there's a lot to consider in this question of religion and violence. Good to get your views on that, John. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you next time on Life and Faith.